What is going on, everyone? Welcome to yet another episode of the Backyard Bullpen, where this one we have a very fun one. We might even see a dam be built because we have Oregon State University Beaver Trent Carraway here with us. Trent, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Stefan. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to talk some ball.
Of course. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule. I know me and you, before we started recording, just discussed the rigorous class schedule you have right now of online classes. What is that like for you?
I mean, do all online at Oregon State, so able to just bang out a lot of assignments when I want to. Play baseball, go see some waterfalls, go hike around. A lot of time flexibility with that. So,
That's not bad. You're definitely in the right place for like waterfalls, hiking, and like nature and all that stuff. I had a cousin who played at Willamette up in Oregon, and I think it was Salem,
okay.
Oregon. And I visited him once. It was like the most beautiful place I've ever seen in my life. Very cold, but
Yeah,
very
pretty
pretty.
cold. Yeah, indeed. But
Now, before you got to Oregon State, of course, you had to get recruited. So, what was your recruiting process like?
yeah, I mean, it was during COVID. It was kind of freshman year, COVID happened. And then going into my sophomore year, I started just sending out video, literally just hitting, fielding, workout stuff, just sending it to all these coaches. And that's kind of how I started getting in the recruiting circle. And then it just kind of took off from there, started talking to schools, started getting offers. And then Oregon State offered me, and I was like, I mean, this is a place that's a lot different from Southern California, but I mean, it's a winning program. I mean, the coaches are really good, really transparent with me, always just able to talk things through, and just it's a good place to get better and grow as a person. So, that's why I was like, Oregon State's probably the place for me. So.
Yeah, definitely not a bad spot if the only drawback is like, hey, it gets a little bit colder than we're used to here. And, not to be rude, but you were probably spoiled with good weather in Southern California. It's a
Yeah,
pretty good spot to be. Now,
exactly.
you took a bit of an unconventional route because, you hear about these guys who are star players and star athletes. A lot of them, it's just like, yeah, no, I was just playing baseball. And everyone was like, okay, that's the best player on the field. So you were actually sending videos out. Doing honestly, going boots on the ground style. Did you have like a template you would send out, or was it just like, look, I'm going unique every school? And how'd you decide who to reach out
I mean, I didn't really know what I was doing during the time. I was like,
to?
I'm just trying to play some competitive baseball and play at the Division One level. I really didn't think I was like that insane of a player then, like I am now. I'd say like I was a very average, like talented player, but nothing crazy special. And I was just trying to get like my name on the map. So, I mean, I would just send out random videos, like just like a nice swing, like a little ground ball routine thing, like just very, very generic stuff, and it worked. So,
Yeah, no, that's it's refreshing to hear that that's still happening because I remember like back when I was getting recruited, it was hard to get video. Not everyone just had a computer in their pockets, as weird as that sounds these days, because
yeah.
we all have iPhones and I could zoom in across a lake on a person's face and people could see them and recognize them. So that's just really cool and that's fascinating to hear about. One thing I remember was like, I would always remember the people that didn't respond or didn't read it, which to be fair, I was sending them videos of a submarine or throwing 75 miles an hour. I probably wouldn't have watched them either. But,
Yeah.
and you don't have to say names or anything, but were there any ones where you were just like, wow, I can't believe they didn't respond to me or anything like that?
I wouldn't really say I had a problem with that. I feel like
Okay.
everyone, like I sent out stuff and everyone was pretty interested. But yeah. And if it did happen, I feel like I just probably forgot anyway.
Yeah, I was always out for I was one of those revenge players where I was like, look, this guy
Chip
didn't
on the
even
shoulder.
he didn't even know I existed. He probably still doesn't know I exist after I play against him, but that's totally fine. That's the kind of player I am. That's what I bring to the table. Now, moving along, in high school, you were named the Gatorade Player of the Year for the state of California, which being a player of the year for any state's insane. Being a player of the year in a state as large as California. Extra crazy because there's so many people there. But do you have a favorite flavor of Gatorade?
I'd probably say Cool Blue.
Cool Blue. That's a good one. That's a good option. I feel like there's different Gatorade flavors for different moods, different things that are going on. You know, I feel like fruit punch, that's like I'm having lunch. But any of the blues, it's like, look, we're getting physical. We're doing work today. And then
It kind of reminds me of the ocean too, so sorry.
which is always refreshing.
Yeah, it's
I
very
always
refreshing.
I always save lemon, lime, and purple for, you know, hangovers. That's where those Gatorades really kicked in for me. But what was it like being named Player of the Year? Like, was it something where, like, halfway through the season, it's even on your radar? Like, do they reach out to you? Like, I genuinely have no idea what the process is like.
I mean, I definitely had like the whole season I was just kind of going off. And then we got like 3/4 of the season, and then I got like an application to fill out for like the get like I was like one of the like finalists or something like that. They sent out some emails to like some of the top players in California. And then just like filled that out, like academic stuff, charity stuff, because it's not just baseball too. It's just like who you are as a person too. So that all plays in everything. So filled all that stuff out, and I was like, all right, well, I'm gonna just keep doing my thing. And that was like the only thing I really heard. I was like, oh, okay, I'm in contention for it. And then I just kind of kept doing my thing, and then it got to the end of the year, and I got a phone call at like 7 in the morning, and it was like, hey, like you're the Gatorade State Player of the Year. And it's funny too, because me and my brother back home, we literally share a room together, and he loves baseball. He's in the baseball world too. So I get the call, and I just start going crazy. He starts going crazy. It was a fun day. So
It's like good morning to you too, you know.
yeah,
We're getting up at 7 a.m., which usually I'm not happy about, but today we're stoked.
I know. It was a little groggy wake up call. I was like, oh, hello. And
They're like,
then
hey, by the way, we got big news for you. What
yeah.
now, after filling out that like form and application, did you feel like any external pressure or anything? Because I feel like if I get that, especially nervous, anxious high school Steve, I'm panicking.
Not really, no. I felt like it was kind of a privilege. I mean, they say like pressure is a privilege. I kind of like, I mean, I don't know, me as a person, I kind of want to be challenged in the spotlight. Like I feel like if you're gonna do it, like I mean, if you're, what am I trying to say, like what's the word, like if you're gonna to do it, you got to do it anyways. So I mean, like if people are watching you, if people aren't watching you, like it doesn't change like what you do as a player. And I kind of just went with that mindset, and I kind of go with that mindset in a lot of things. So I feel like that kind of just excludes everything, and I kind of just focus on myself and do my thing. So
Yeah, definitely works out well. I always say the first person to think in baseball is the guy who's going to lose. And you know, that's why I think I made a decent player, because I didn't think. Never thought nothing was going on in here. Now, shifting gears a little, what was it that drew you to Oregon
yeah,
State?
exactly. That's. I mean, growing up in Southern California, I went to J. Sarah Catholic High School, which you could say is probably like a UCLA feeder team. Like, if you go to J. Sarah, you're probably pretty good, you probably go to UCLA. And I was like, well, I mean, I feel like if I just stay in Southern California, like I'm not really gonna learn anything. And if I'm gonna go to school and not go to the draft out of high school, like I need to like learn some actual real life skills. I mean, came to a new area, not like closest with everybody at Oregon State. Like I had a lot of friends going to UCLA, California schools. I kind of want to be different, like experience something just out of my comfort zone, and kind of just learn more about myself from that. Just at a younger age, I thought that was kind of important to me. So
Definitely. And like beyond the degree and everything, like people always talk about the value of the college experience and kind of going away from home, being far away from what's familiar to you, getting outside that comfort zone seems to, you know, be pretty beneficial in the long run from what I've seen. Now, one thing I learned while doing my research and learning about the school was that the founder of Panda Express is actually an alumni of Oregon State University. Did that play any factor into the role where you were like, hey, look, Panda Express is pretty good. There's probably one on campus. I could end up doing great things like that.
No, I didn't know that, but I mean, I can't lie. Like a few days ago, I absolutely just grubbed some Panda Express. So let's
What's
go.
the
That
go?
fires me up. That fires me up. He's an alumni.
It's unbelievable. It's like the best food in the world. What's your go-to Panda Express order?
Probably some double orange chicken with some chow mein. and then some fried rice.
Couldn't have said it better myself. I'm
Oh
right
yeah.
there with you.
That's lovely.
Like my wife tries to tell me to try new things at Panda Express because I just get the orange chicken and chow mein. Like, look, when you got the Ferrari right here, you aren't going to take the Ford Taurus. You're going to take the Ferrari and you're going to go
Oh
with
yeah. Yeah, you're gonna go win.
it.
Yeah.
And so now that you're at Oregon State, what is your favorite thing about the school?
I mean, I would say just like the diversity within the school. There's a like I've met so many different types of people, from all different places. So that's pretty cool. And I mean, especially coming from Southern California, it's just a different type of community. So I mean, I just have learned a lot from it too. And I mean, I've created a lot of relationships that I never thought I would have. So that's what I like about it. And I mean, it's just a cool area. The town's cool. Like it's smaller. Get to live in a house, have my own backyard, have a little shed, fireplace, like so. I mean, there's a lot of fun stuff to do around here, and I mean, when the weather's bad too, all you can really focus on is baseball. So I mean, it kind of gives you like what I want to do anyway. So
Yeah,
yeah.
no, that's a great thought. Like, hey, look, it's snowing. I have nothing else to do but go to the indoor and get better. Like, I'm
Yeah.
probably gonna go and do that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So.
But also like just that getting out of the comfort zone. Like, I'm sure if you went to a school where, you know, all your high school goes to, it's like, okay, I'm gonna know the exact same people I knew then, but now you're getting to meet all sorts of different people.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Now, what was the transition like from high school to college, like from a baseball standpoint? I know school-wise, it's always kind of difficult, and it's always like, wait, that's a lot more work or a lot less work than I was expecting, but on the field, especially.
Yeah. I mean, I would say I'm pretty physically gifted, so that wasn't really a problem making the adjustment to college, like sticking with the bigger dudes. But I mean, I'll just say overall consistency, just of players, especially at Oregon State. I mean, like how efficient our practices are ran, how, I mean, everyone gets after it. It's super competitive. So that's something that's definitely different. Like, I mean, I played in the Trinity League and I went to J. Sarah. So, I mean, pretty good league and pretty good high school and everything. But I mean, just the level of player that's on the field now at Oregon State and in college baseball in general is pretty different from high school. So that was something like, for me, that was like something to get used to. Like, I'm not the only dude now. Like, there's actually other dudes who can stick with me. So that was one thing I kind of noticed. But other than that, I mean, I was pretty confident coming into school. I was like, I think I'm gonna do pretty well right away. So.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I know that a lot of freshmen, they go out there and they have rude awakenings. Me, for example, I didn't realize that like Hell Week was even a thing at some schools. And we had Hell Week right off the jump. I was like, what did I get myself into? I remember running a football stadium and throwing up and thinking, yeah, I might just throw in the towel here. And then I somehow didn't. And I just kind of blacked out for the next couple of hours. And I was like, okay, I guess I get to keep playing baseball. But was there anything that surprised you in your freshman fall?
I mean, we have a lot of 6 a.m. lifts, so and
Gotta
we
get
had
it done
something.
early.
Oh yeah, you got to get it done early. And we kind of had something like a hell week too. It's called our coach calls it championship building week. And I mean, it was from 5 in the morning until 8. We were with each other for a week, like pretty much 24/7. And we did that last year too. We went to Canada for 9 days. Like,
Oh, pack the
yeah.
passport.
Yeah. So we were out there grinding just 5 a.m. until 8 with the team every day, like not having phones, not like I could go on and on about it. So yeah, there's
That's
definitely nothing comparable to what I've done in high school or on my own. So
Yeah, what part of Canada did you guys go to?
we went to Okotoks. You know where the like there's that baseball academy up there, Okotoks Baseball Academy. It's like the Canadian like travel ball team.
Sure.
We went up there and they have like 4 fields. They have an indoor facility, a weight room. They have everything. So we went up there for a good amount of time and just got to work. And it was kind of a grind, but I mean, it was fun. I mean, doing it with the boys and just getting after it. So.
Yeah, I remember a big term that got me through college probably was embrace the suck. Like things like that as a player, like they're fun and like it's great for team building, but sometimes it's like, look, this run, this conditioning, it sucks, but it's
Yeah.
going to make us better.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, moving into your freshman season, you play 18 games before getting injured and then promptly tore up the Cape Cod League. Like, as soon as you got there, it was like catching fire. What helped you during your recovery that allowed you to kind of hit the ground running?
I mean, I would say when I got to college, I really started to take care of my body more, just like eating, like habits, sleeping, recovery. And then I was already kind of like on a good wave with that, like just getting my body right and doing that stuff right when I got to college. 'Cause I got two other roommates too, Gavin Turley and Dallas Macias. We all live in a house together. So, I mean, they're in pretty good shape too, and they like taking care of themselves too. So I kind of started picking up on their routines. And then I kind of went with that. And then I got hurt, and I started off the season really hot. I was on fire.
Without doubt.
And I got hurt, which sucked. But I mean, yeah, I got hurt, and then I had nothing else to focus on. So I was literally just eating like a beast, sleeping like a beast. And I wasn't really supposed to be working out, because I had like pins in my finger and everything. But I'd go to the recreational center every day and just work out there every day. And like, we would have a game, and I would get up at like 8 or something, if it would be like an afternoon game, and just go lift to the rec center and then show up to the field. Because I mean, I really had nothing else to do. And I would say, I mean, I've had other chips on the shoulder, but I mean, getting the like this is like my first real injury, and I was felt like I was off to a good start. So it kind of gave me a real chip on the shoulder. So then I just was really determined when I was hurt, just taking care of myself. And then I went out to Arizona for a week and like worked with this guy named PK, used his facility for a straight week. And then I was grinding there, and then I flew out to the Cape, and I was just ready to go. So
Yeah, you had the itch to get back on the field, definitely showed. But what was finger rehab like? Because I feel like that's an injury that's not super common in baseball.
it wasn't fun, because when I broke my finger, I was trying to lay down a drag. My coach didn't put me on. I was just trying to play the game.
I like where your head's at. Look, it's make the pitcher move a little. Pitchers spend all fall doing PFPs. You were just giving them an opportunity to try to execute one. And come game time, they probably wouldn't have.
And I was trying to, move that third baseman in too. You know, you can get a little cheap little 6-hole hit from that too. So, but yeah, he like threw a heater in, like, I finished the at bat. Like, it was the first pitch of the at bat. I fouled it off, but it hit my hand too. And I was like, and I look at my finger, I'm like, oh damn, it's done. But I finished the at bat, striking out, freaking dropped third strike, ran it out, and I was just like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm done. Got back in the dugout. My trainer looked at it, and then I had to get surgery. I got pins in it, and I thought I got it like infected the first week when I got the pins in it, and it was. I didn't sleep a few nights. It wasn't the greatest. And then I had the pins in for 4 weeks, got those out, and then I kind of just got like a normal splint, did that for another like 3 to 4 weeks. And then I started getting to finger rehab, and that was a grind, because my finger was so used to just being like straight still, and I wasn't like, so I had to like work my knuckle back into shape and everything. And I mean, even when I came back, I think I came back for regionals and super regionals. Like, I wasn't fully ready to play. I was just like, this is like, all right, let's go. I need to get out there and play. So,
Yeah, it's like I'm gonna go crazy if I sit for any longer. Someone told me I can, so I'm gonna go do.
exactly. So, I mean, I kind of just sent it and tried my best, but
Yeah, now as pitchers, you know, everybody's getting Tommy John. They have arm problems, and a lot of them, when they recover and they do the recovery process, they'll have drills and stuff that become like a safety blanket, like a, hey, I got to do this every day. I learned this in rehab. Was there anything in finger rehab where you're like, look, this drill's sticking with me? Or was it just like, look, we can bend again, we're good to go?
It was like, yeah, once I start was able to get like back like normal range of motion and just like normal strength, I was like, all right, like let's send it. Like I kind of just stopped what I'm doing. I mean, I do red light recovery, and like I got like that thing up there like hangs above my bed. And like it's like a red light, and I'll just flip it on at night and then go to bed. It helps with the recovery and stuff. So still do habits like that, but nothing really crazy with the hand.
No, that's honestly, that's such a sick setup. I was wondering what that box was. My guess was projector. I think I'm too used to school where like every classroom has a projector like that. But just getting recovered, I might do that with a tanning bed option, just because I'm getting a little pasty these days. I could use it. So I might steal some of your ideas.
But
Now, moving along, you had an all-star summer on the Cape playing for the Falmouth Commodores. What was it like playing on the Cape? And then, of course, what did you think of the all-star game?
I mean, it was an experience. I mean, living on the East Coast, totally different vibe out there. I lived with the place I lived in Falmouth because I was on the Falmouth Commodores. I lived in an air park. We had a hangar with an airplane in it. There was a runway out, like right in the backyard. All the house, like you could just fly out whenever you wanted. And I had another buddy who stayed with me. One of them was Tanner Smith. He goes to, or he went to Harvard. He's with the Padres now. And then another buddy, Mac Hewer, he's at Texas Tech, and we were sleeping in twin beds in the same room. So that was an experience. I mean, I made some good relationships from that. And then, I mean the competition in the Cape is the best of the best. I mean, and you're playing every day. You're facing pretty much a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday guy every day, even out of relief. So I mean, it's and you're swinging a wood bat on a high school field that's not the nicest. So it's, but I mean, I like that. I liked it about that because I mean, it was kind of like backyard baseball. It's just kind of like get out there, compete. Like if you're feeling bad one day, you're feeling one bad, like bad one day. If you're feeling good one day, you're feeling good one day. So, it kind of made me learn just like not to ride the waves. Like you can't really play high, you can't really play low. You just got to play even keeled with your game because I mean, you can't really change how you feel. You just kind of got to compete and then gotten to the All-Star game. I mean, that was sick because I mean, there's just you're with a ton of dudes. Did the home run derby too. That was an experience. I've never really done anything like that. So yeah, and it was in Falmouth too. So there was a ton of people there watching, a lot of banter going on. Like it was sweet.
Personally, I'm very glad that the Home Run Derby's in Falmouth because it used to be our the past couple of times that I can recall, it was in Harwich, and Harwich has that massive field. It's no good
Yeah,
for a Home Run Derby that like you
it is a
really
big
got to
field.
put into it. Like there are a few guys who didn't leave the yard, a few guys who it's like I think the winner had like seven, which was sick, don't get me wrong, but it was like we can get more than that somewhere else. Like
It was a little
honestly,
brutal.
I always wondered why they wouldn't do it at YD, because that home run derby, they'll be like 500.
You can have a pop fly out of
Yeah,
there.
but backyard baseball is like a phenomenal way to describe it. I played for Kitutt back in the day, and our coach would always be like, look, just go out there. Intense guy, Mike Roberts, don't get me wrong. But he was
Yeah, he
like,
seems intense.
it definitely was. I had a great time playing for him, but there were definitely times. I actually gave up a walk-off broken bat single at Falmouth, and I got a bit of a talking to afterwards about my pitch selection. It was
I bet.
intense at that moment, but he always described it as backyard baseball. And like when you get to wear him and the field's gravel, it's like, yeah, this is backyard baseball. We're just a bunch of kids having fun. And I'm sure playing infield, like you probably weren't used to how slow the grass was again. Like, especially growing up playing in Southern California, you got probably have Bermuda. There probably isn't a slow infield in the state, except when you get kind of north towards Oregon. So, definitely an adjustment there. Was there anything that really surprised you about the Cape?
I mean, I would just say, I mean, everyone's trying to do something special. That was the one thing. That was like the first time where it's like everyone's actually out here, like really trying to, I mean, pretty similar to college baseball. I mean, everyone's trying to do their best, try to win and just try and ball out, look in front of people and stuff like that. So, yeah, definitely that. And I mean, definitely a lot different swinging a wood bat against arms that are
Yeah.
the real deal. So,
That'll
got to be.
take some thumbs for sure.
So. But I mean, nothing really crazy. It wasn't like I wasn't like shell shocked when I got there. I mean, I think my first at bat, I hit a home run, and I was like, "All right, Let's hit the ground running. Let's go.
That's one way to settle in pretty nicely. I remember my first warm-up pitch up there. I rolled my ankle, fell flat on my face. I was like, oh, I'm so not supposed to be here. But we figure it out. We find a way. Now, was this your first time on the East Coast?
No, because I when I was growing up in or in high school anyway, I played Canes National, so
Oh, okay.
we
Yeah, so.
were always I was always on the East Coast doing stuff, so I was it wasn't that far-fetched for me.
Okay, good. So you had a little bit of background knowledge. You knew what it was like. You knew there were probably jellyfish in this ocean, which you guys don't have over there. So you knew to look out for the jellyfish, which is good. That's a difference maker in the game.
Yeah, luckily didn't get zapped, so.
Yeah, didn't get zapped, and none of the sharks bothered you. It looks like. I mean, I know I'm only seeing your torso, but I assume yours probably still all together, which is always great to see. We're always rooting for that for the Cape Cod players. Now, moving along to this fall, now that you're a sophomore, you probably aren't as sped up as you were freshman. You're not saying you were sped up, but most freshmen, they get sped up. It happens. But now you have time to be a sophomore, kind of gauge what the team's looking like because you know what to expect. Was there anyone who stood out to you this fall?
I mean, I would definitely say Iva. He's legit. He's the real deal. So Iva Arquette, he's gonna be a good one this year. I mean, and he's really, really nice dude, and I mean, calm and collected. It was good we got him from the portal, so
Like that. I love when the guys are nice too, because we want everyone to succeed, but the nice guys I'm always rooting for a little bit harder, it's easy. No, so that honestly, that question's a little selfish. That's so my job can become easier. So it's like, hey, look, I know who to look out for now too. Which everybody benefits from it. Now, in my research, a lot of my research, since I'm a weird guy, is going through social media profiles so I can try to learn as much as I can about baseball players. And I saw on yours, you had a quote on your Instagram that says, "Luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity." What's your game day prep like?
I mean, it's pretty. I don't really have like I wouldn't say I have like a straight up routine. I would say I'm pretty just like I'll eat some good food. I'll take some hacks in the cage, like some soft toss, get my swings off, feel good, and then I get out. I'm not the type of guy who like is gonna take 150 swings before a game. Kind of my thought process is like with that quote anyway, like I work really hard. Like when it's game time, it's like it's either you got it or you don't. So,
Yeah, and game times, honestly, that's the reward for the hard work. It's like, look, if
exactly.
it's hard off the field, when I get on the field, it's going to be way easier. Because,
Yeah,
like,
like
obviously, baseball is not an easy game, but just going through it, like, it's a good way to think about it. I like that. I like that approach. I like the game day prep is, yep, show up on time, and do what I need to do. Get ready to mash.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, looking towards 2025, the teams that play well are the teams that are prepared. We're talking about preparation. And, it's the teams that have their ducks in a row that are really going to impress in 2025. You are the only player that on media day can confirm the ducks were in a row. I saw a picture of you with a bunch of ducks. What was
Oh,
that all about?
that was Gavin. That was Gavin.
That was Gavin? Oh my goodness. The lighting had me fooled, had me completely fooled.
I mean, yeah, I think that morning he went up and because we have some, there's some people with land out here, and I think they're able to get out there and go shoot some ducks. And I think it was media day, so him and some teammates like went out and got some ducks for media day,
So fun.
just to post up with them. But yeah, no, that wasn't me.
No, I all right. The lighting had me fooled. Lighting had me fooled. But hey, we'll learn. We'll learn. At least we were in the right household. Now, are you a hunting and fishing type of guy, or are you more like just go out and enjoy nature?
I'm kind of just like go out and enjoy nature. I don't know if you'd want to see me shoot a gun right now. I'm not very good, but
I'm right there with you.
it's kind of a work in progress. I mean, I'd like to, but I mean, yeah, no, just go on hikes, get outdoors. I mean, I grew up in Southern California right near the beach, so I mean, I've been used to it my whole life, going to the beach, surfing, fishing. So, yeah, I just like getting out there.
Yeah, without a doubt. So on the rare occasion that you do have an off day, how do you spend your time?
I mean, today's been a little busy. I had to do some media stuff and we got this too. So, but I mean, on a normal off day, I would probably, 'cause we have breakfast from like 7 to 10, probably
Oh,
get up
that's
around
awesome.
nine, get up around nine, go grab a bite to eat, get some eggs made for me, all that. And then come back home, maybe do some online homework and then go to a waterfall or just stay home and watch a movie, honestly.
What kind of movies you into? Because I'm a big time movie guy. I love movies. I have a lot of free time these days now that I don't play college baseball. Fill it with movies.
I mean, I like Star Wars a lot.
Good call.
I got a little, here, we'll show you. I got this little, I got that
That.
right there. Freshest cargo. So yeah, I'm a big Star Wars guy. I like Star Wars.
That's a honestly phenomenal call right there. Now, last question before I let you go. What makes you happiest?
I've never thought about that. I'm a pretty happy guy.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're smiling and laughing a lot here. It's like something's got to be churning it.
Man, I don't even know. I mean, I would just say like, I don't know. I'm happy with this lifestyle. Like, I like working hard. I like playing baseball. I mean,
Well,
like
hey.
I'm just I like
What?
I'm just a content dude.
There's
I'm
nothing
great.
wrong with that by any means.
I'm grateful. I mean, yeah, I'm just happy with the position I'm in for everything in life. How I'm setting myself up for everything. And I mean, I work hard, so I mean, I can't, there's really nothing to be mad about. I do everything I can control. So I mean, when I'm chilling and I got nothing going on, I'm just happy.
Just like, look, we're resting, we worked hard. And we can hang our hat on that for the day, you know. No, that's a great answer. Like, I want guys that I'm a fan of to be content in life, you know. I want that for everyone. Well, Trent, thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to meet here with me and share a little bit about your story and what makes you the player that you are these days.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And